We are late, but it's better late than never, as they say. But we are going to just
Say
review
why.
very quickly on 65b2 and just say that if you have the wind blowing the gefanim on top of the tefuah, so then you should go ahead and cut it, either cut it back
B2 or B1?
The Mishnah.
65b2.
I'm just
The
reviewing the Mishnah. Are you with me?
B2.
I'm reviewing the Mishnah.
165. Okay.
Okay?
Halacha 6.
Halacha 5. The wind cracked grapevines, caused them to lean over. You should either cut them or make a fence so it doesn't happen again. And if an oinus happens, that means you weren't able to do it because of the workers that you had hired didn't show up. Mutter, there's mutter. It doesn't ask them to the evid. And we said the reason is because they didn't get their mirtzainai. It was blown there against your will, not willingly. And there's no Isra of climb unless it's Mirtzoinoi. And this is a little bit different than the vine going over the Tfuah. In a normal case, I would ask the Tfuah. Here we're saying the Tfuah, so it's rooted, let's say you planted it outside the sixth Tefach work area, and then it grew, and the top of it grew underneath the vine. So it says over here, Chayim B'Yark, same thing, it's Mach, so you move it back, then Makash. If you didn't move it back, it's not Makash, but the Yevon, okay? So that's one basic difference. So then we had a difference. There's going to be two sheets in the Gemara. You're going to see soon. But here in our Gersa, in the way we have the Mishnah, when does it become prohibited? Misha Tashlish, when it grows a third. We're going to see in the Gemara. So Machlokes, there's another sheet that says Misha Tashrish, once it becomes rooted. Mm-hmm. We'll see this in a second. Vanovim and grapes, Misha Yasu Kabal Lovin, when they become the size of a bean. There's other halachas brought in the footnote that, for instance, when do you start saying barkuah eitz? When is it considered a fruit once it gets to the size of the bean? Then the last thing in the Mishnah on tzamach vav amad aleph, this is today's page, tvuah she'yashu kol tzarcha, if it gets dried out. So it means it's fully ripened. That doesn't mean it's dried out, but it means it's dried to its full extent, because that's what happens with wheat. You leave it stuck on the ground until it dries out a little bit, and then you harvest it. So it's completely fully grown. It's not growing anymore. And another shabishul called tzarchan, that they're completely ripe. They're not. The growth has stopped. And in Wisconsin, so now they don't become musser. In other words, it's hard to imagine a case of climb like that because when you're not planting it now, it's fully grown. So, but if it worked out that somehow or other,
the case where you take the vines and you put it on top of the.
You put it on top. That's a simple case, right? Take the vines, put it on top of the wheat. It's not going to ask for anything. Let's see, does he say something else in the bottom here? If one plants grain in a vineyard whose grapes... Okay, so the way he have it here is like this. He's saying it's either way. It's not that they're both fully grown. If the grapes are fully grown...
Even if one of them is not...
If one is fully grown and you plant the other one, so that's the chiddush over here, right? If one plants grain in a vineyard whose grapes have already fully developed, or you plant a vine among grain that is completely ripe, neither is prohibited. Okay, that's a very interesting thing. Okay, and I think that's what this big variant on the next page is, a big box. I think that's what it talks about, but I didn't get a chance to read it. I'm sorry. I'm going to make an excuse for myself because I had a root canal this morning, and it took up a lot of time. Okay.
He's not a good dentist.
Ukebenazai. So the Gemara says, Ukebenazai yisaper. Now, even though our Mishnah says what? It says. Where's the word I'm looking for? It says, V'chein b'yerek machzir. The Mishnah said that if it's a vegetable, machzir. You return it. Benazai says not that you return it, but yisaper, you have to actually cut it. Because he holds the vegetables are more delicate, I'd say. They have the, what does he say? He says a reason for this. Vegetables are small and thin. There's a concern that if they are merely turned back, they're going to lean under the vine and he might not be noticed. And bottom line is he says he wants you not to just move it away. He wants you to cut it, trim it. Ashkach Tani in the Brisa brings this machlokes, okay? As Rabbi Kiva says, Yachzir, like our Mishnah, and Renazai says, Yisaper, that's the second Cheetah. So this is Machlokes Tanan. Fine. So it gets a third. Is tani tane? So there are those who say mishatashresh. That's what we mentioned. Once it takes root. So the Gemara said, we had in chapter 5 a Mishnah. Chapter 5, 8, what does it say? 8. Halacha 5, 6. So it's 51b. I don't know if you remember back that far, but if you remember, there was a machlokas over there. Maybe we should take a quick peek at it just to refresh our memory. Take a look at 51b. It's halacha vav. So it says, yeah.
Didn't say anything
about Tashrei. It says Siarasa Horach Lafonov. If what? If the wind blew the seed into the vineyard before him and it sprouted, so Rabbi Kiva says, Imasovim Yuvach. If it sprouted as grass, he turns it over. Imaviv Yinafates. If it grew further and they began to ripen, you shake the kernels out and you scatter them. If it be a donkey, you dolik, and if it before it brought forth grain, you light it up. So the point is, this is going to be a little difficult, right? So this Mishnah says clearly that if it becomes grass, even though it's grass is certainly not at a stage in development that's it's considered tvua,
that's a proof that it's tashreish.
No, let's get the rule over here.
Okay.
So it seems very clear over here that even if it has not been developed, yufach, you're mechuyev to turn it over. What's the reason why you have to turn it over? Because you want to kill it. That's what we explained. Yufach, we said that. Yeah. 21, we said. Let me just look over there. Uprooting it at this early stage causes it to die, prevents any further growth. It's footnote 21 of 51b3, okay? That's what we said. In the Gemara, on 52A, if you take a quick peek, let's see, it's 52A2. So we had over here that Reb Zeira, Reb Shim ben Lakish b'shem Reb Hoshea, imasavim yufach, if it's grass, he should turn it over. It means uprooting. Hakol mutter, it's because at that stage, the entire plant is permitted. If it began to ripen, he should shake it out the ears. Okay, and hakashim muton hadog and osir, it's the straw still permitted. Okay, and otherwise it's hakol osir. Then we had Rabbi Yochanan, who argued on Rish Lakish on 52a3. He said hakol osir, everything in all three circumstances it's osir, and when it says yufach yinapetz and didolek, it's basically it's all osir. The whole plant is osir. Anyway, that's the bottom line. So we have a basic machlokes, how to learn that Mishnah, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara is now going to pull it in to make these two gersos that we have in our Mishnah, whether it's Yashrish or Mishatashlish, we're going to try to explain how this is going to be totally in this machlokes. Let's see what it says.
Grass means the early stalks of the
world. That's correct. Okay, when it starts to grow, it looks...
That's why he's saying Tashrish.
It looks like grass, exactly. So let's see what it says over here. So English says, Rabbi Hoshea and Rabbi Yochanan disagree. Rabbi Hoshea maintains it's turned over to uproot it to prevent any further growth, but it's permitted for benefit. Rabbi Yochanan understands the mission to be teaching is prohibited for benefit. So that's the Chazar, right, that we just said. Manda Amar Misha Tashrish. Let's figure this out. So if you hold it's taking root, that's like Rabbi Yochanan. And Manda Amar Misha Tashrish from Sayyid Rabbi Hoshea. Does that make sense, how it fits, right?
I think so.
So footnote 10, according to this version, the grain becomes prohibited as clay come from the time it takes root. So it's prohibited by the time it sprouts as grass and has to be destroyed. So that's Rabbi Yochanan, who holds it to Asher, from the time of the rooting. But if you hold Misha Tashlish, then the pshat is, it's only going to be Asher, right? It's only going to be Asher once it's beyond the third. That's the Gemara. Grapes are subject to it when they become the size of a white bean. Amar Kananya, Meir of Hillel, the Ksivus was Hakarim. So, in other words, produce is only considered produce once it reaches the size of a white bean. Right?
First, Kini must need to enemy.
Yeah. What'd you say?
What's that last four words? Where does that fit in?
I don't have it on the English side.
No.
What's
words where?
You have some words
there. Masnita enam eskadashes.
No, that's next. That's my turn. Tvua shiyav, so that's on page 66A2. Next page. Tvua shiyav shah, so keni masnisa. The Mishnah means enam eskadashes. Means they don't, they're not usher to eat. In other words, there's still a prohibition to plant them. Okay, you can't go there and plant wheat lechachila next to a ripe vine. It's just telling me that it's not mekadesh. It's not going to be awesome to have it. But there's a din drabanan, right? Okay, next. Otzitznokim, this is interesting. I always like the otzitznokim cases. I don't know why. I just have this thing with the holes in the pots. I always find it fascinating. If your person has a pot with a hole in the bottom and it's sitting here on the table, on Shabbos, right? And you take the pot off the table like that, it's a deraisa. It's unbelievable. It's incredible to me because the humors of the earth come up through the air into the hole, into the plant.
What? So,
humors. Is that the word?
I don't know. What does it mean?
You have to have a sense of humor to understand what it means.
I'm afraid
we don't. It's the, you know, the moisture. I think it's called humors. I don't think I made that up the word. Maybe I did make up the word. Who knows? Anyway, let's go on. If you have a perforated pot, it's mekadesh and nekarim. So that would mean, I think they actually have it over here. Planting in a flower pot that has a hole large enough to permit the passage of a small root is the equivalent to planting in the ground. Mm-hmm. If such a pot is situated inside a vineyard or within 4 amas of a vineyard, planting grain renders the grain of the grapevines prohibited as kliyah karim. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that makes sense, right? So if you have a little wheat seed inside my flower pot, and I put it down on the ground without putting it in the ground, I don't really, we're going to see in a second, you don't have to actually put it on the ground, even if you walk through a kerem with it in your hand. We're going to see in the next page. Anyway, Shana Nakov, if it doesn't have the hole, it's not Makashit. Reb Shimon Noimer, Zevazan, Asurim, Vilam Makashit. Reb Shimon disagrees. He holds, it doesn't matter whether you have a hole, whether you don't have a hole, it's never Makashit. He holds that the hole does not make a difference. It's always considered tolish. It's never considered mechuber by virtue of the hole in the pot. Okay? So then the Mishnah says...
You're not allowed to do it.
What?
You're not allowed to do it.
You're
right?
Not allowed to do what?
Put it there.
He says, Evazah Asurin. Yeah. But we're going to see in a second. I think... Yeah.
That's what Asurin means.
We're going to see in a second. It's rabbinically. Yeah, in the bottom of 18, he says, therefore, according to Rav Shimon, neither planting in a perforated pot or an unperforated pot will affect the prohibition. Okay? It is, however, forbidden rabbinically to plant foreign seed in either type of pot if it's located in a vineyard. So it's going to be in this drop on it. Okay, let's go on. 66b, Hamar Ratzisnoko Bekarim, if a person walks through, he's walking through, right? A vineyard with a flower pot with has grain growing in it, and he goes, I guess he's walking slowly. In Mahosif Masayim, he's walking like a tortoise, and it was actually grew on 200.
Maybe a huge vineyard,
that's correct. One or the other. So if it goes, if it's Hosif Masayim, it's Osir, it will be Osir. It's theory, of course, you know, if you're still, whatever.
It had a lot of humors in it.
It had a lot of humors coming up, that's right. So that's us. 4, 3, let's see here. I'm not going to go through the 200 thing. We know about that already. About 4. Let's see. It says over here, right, this is very interesting. 4 is actually a very interesting footnote. That when you're walking through the vineyard, the grain will become usser. But the vineyard will stay mutter. This is a little different than if you had put it on the ground. If you put it on the ground, they both become usser, right? The grain becomes prohibited, but the vines remain permitted unless he set the pot down on the ground. This is indicated by the Mishnah's wording by saying usser as opposed to mekadesh.
That's why.
See the difference? It says usser. Sometimes the Mishnah will say mekadesh when it's, right? renders something mekadesh.
It's just that mekadesh, item itself.
It renders something else prohibited. We learned the other day that the ikar iser comes from the wheat. It's when in the cases of klein, we said they say.
Misvara, that makes perfect sense.
I mean, yeah. I thought there was a machlokes about this point.
Second paragraph.
Since the grain of the pot becomes prohibited, it's evidently viewed as deriving nourishment from the ground, even as it's being carried through the vineyard. If so, the vines should become forbidden as well, regardless of whether the pot is put down. I didn't look it up. I was supposed to look up this Tosfos Yontif. I forgot all about it. You see what happens when the Novocaine leaks into the brain? You forget what you were supposed to do, you see? That's what happened. I blame everything on the root canal. Okay, Tani. We have to look up that Tosfos Yontif. Please remind me. Chaim, can you send me a note, please? Tani, it says in the Braisa, so there's a Braisa that says the only difference between one and the other is whether it's Hekshar Zorim. Remember, you can only be Makshar something for Tumah if it's Tolish. Calls man, like, right, that's if you have apples growing on a tree and you spray it with water, it's not Mokshal Kabal Tumah because it's still attached to the ground. But if you have an Otzitz She'eno Nokov, that's considered Tolish, and therefore it will be Mokshar. Okay? Kirib Shimon. And that's Reb Shimon, who generally does not differentiate between perforated and unperforated, and therefore it's only going to be this one particular halacha Reb Shimon holds. Right? Normally, if it's Hilchos Shabbos, for instance, Reb Shimon wouldn't hold this halacha between Nokov and Inner Nokov. But when it comes to this one exception, when it comes to Hekshar Zorim, then there is a difference. That's Reb Shimon's Shita. Varam Karabonon. But if you hold like Darabonon against Reb Shimon, it is Koron, and there are other cases, other Nafkaminas, between the towns of Paz. And the Gemara is now going to give a couple of examples. One, of course, is our Mishnah. Otzis Nokov Mekadesh Mekarab. If you have an Otzis Nokov, then it will create a prohibition in the vineyard. She'en or Nokov Eino Mekadesh, right? So that we knew already. Second Mishnah, HaTolish Me Otzis Nokov Chayev. If you are Tolish a Peri on Shabbos from a perforated pot, you're going to be Chayev for Kaitzer, right? She'en or Nokov Potter, you'll be Potter. Okay, Kaitzer, he brings it. Kailash, Kailash. Otzitz Nokov, third Mishnah. Otzitz Nokov, Eino Makshar Asaz Royam, Nokov Makshar Asaz Royam, that, of course, they're agreeing with Rav Shimon in the third case. That's the Machlokes. Okay. Now, Rav Yosi Yomar Lo, Omar Lo, Stam. Let's see, he made the following. So there's two people who quoted this statement that we're about to quote, but one said it in the name of somebody. One said it's not without attributing the name. I always find this fascinating. You know, this constant. You know, I'm not saying anything new, special here, but I happen to notice it in Yerushalmi more than other places. I think there's a lot of focus on who said it in front of said it, whose name, and there's just like, why is this so important? Is it only because of maybe Gula Olam, or is there something else to it? What was that?
They're Israeli.
They're Israeli?
Starkite?
Okay. So Rabbi Yossi says it's Stam. Rabbi Hanina says it in the name of Shmuel Bar Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak. Hatoira Reba Betaras Royim. There's a Reboy, the Pasuk, he's going to quote the Pasuk in a second. You'll recognize the Pasuk. Not Tom. What's the pasuk? V'chihipo min devlosam al kozera zeruah asher yizareya toharhu. So, right?
But that's if they're connected to the ground still, right?
Yeah, in other words, let's see, where does he bring it over here? Let's see, 15. Zera zeruah, right? If it would just say zera zeruah, that would mean sown seeds. It would mean seeds that are in the ground. That would tell me that produce cannot be rendered susceptible to tumah if it's attached to the ground, right? Then it says, asher yizareya. That extends the leniency to include even produce that is only slightly attached to the ground. That's the drasha, right? Chazara is a ruah, that if it's going to if you're gonna have tumah that touches something that's planted, then it's gonna remain tar because it's not mukshar. Asher yizareya will tell me that even if it's only planted in the most light way, meaning that it's attached via a pot with a hole, that even that is also considered attached to the ground. That's the drasha. Okay?
Seems like a drasha is not necessary.
Torah riba betara zroim. The Gemara says that the Torah was marba tara zroim to include even perforated flower pots. Shabsi feels that the Torah does not need to be marba this.
Either it's connected.
Isn't that interesting? What?
Either it's connected or it's not connected.
So you're asking it as a kasha. You're saying if it's connected for Shilchos Shabbos, then why wouldn't it be connected for Hoksha Zarim? You think it's a good kasha?
Sounds okay.
It is.
Maybe this is the mukkar.
No.
Maybe this is the mukkar. I don't know.
I hear
what you're saying.
If water hits a plant that's planted, it doesn't make it mukshal or kabel tuma. If water hits a plant in a non-perforated in a perforated flower pot, the same thing applies because it's like connected to the ground.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on. I don't know. Tani, Otzer Shein Anokav Ma'asos of Mehalacha. So this means if you have an otzitz that does not have a hole and things grow in it in Eretz Yisrael, obviously. And then whatever you take its maisus means you take truma and the maiserishin and maisersheni, whatever it is you're taking from that flower pot, that's mehalocha, that's rabbinic. That's what it means, rabbinic law. 17.
Mm-hmm.
17. Biblically, only produce that grows on the ground of Eretz Yisrael has to have trumas and maisus taken. Therefore, if it's an unperforated pot, it's only drabbana. That's what it says over here. Ma'isroisav mehalocha. Usrumasai, that truma, enema damas, obviously, it's not going to, if it gets mixed up, it doesn't require 100 to be mavatal it. It requires less than that. I guess a simple majority would be sufficient. If you eat it by accident, you're not chayiv. If you eat the truma, drabbana, you eat by accident, normally if you eat by accident, you have to pay a chaymash. In this case, you don't. Okay? Rabbi Yosi boi. My old limer, I'll pita. What? Truma de Rabbana, they eat a shogeg. Apparently, over here it says you don't have to pay a chaymash. Chaymash is a den by the araisa, not by the Rabbana.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Rabbi Yosi boy, Rabbi Yosi asked a kasha. My old limer, I'll pita, how much left in the araisa? So here's a good kasha. I grow ahead and I grow wheat in a flower pot. Is this unperforated or perforated?
Unperforated? Yeah.
So, do you say, right, that's what it says in 21, grew in an unperforated flower pot.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have to make how much left in Oretz? Because after all, it's not connected to the ground. So maybe, so this is going to be all the hydroponics, right? The same question.
Yeah.
He brings over here from the Chayotam that one does not, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. The Gemara doesn't answer the question, just to ask the question. In footnote 22, he brings from the Chai Adam that you do not recite how much lechem al aretz over bread of an unperforated flower pot. He does add, though, that you do say berachas hamazon after eating the bread. This is fascinating. So you don't. So this is like a good trivia question. When do you have to bench on something that you don't make hamotzi on? The answer is if you had bread that grew from an unperforated flower pot.
Yeah,
whole
box of tam-tams.
Okay. Tam-tams. Yeah, but if you knew ahead of time, I think you'd make a mitzvah.
Did you make a meal out of it?
What?
Time you finished, yeah.
That's so pashas.
Isn't that so pashas? Anyway,
so
pashas. I don't know.
If you bring afar from Chutzar, there is a soil and you have a pot. Is that considered there's a soil?
Nah.
Is that considered
Chutzar? Nah, Chutzar.
So what's the question then? If the ground in the pot is from Eretz Yisrael, why wouldn't it be automatically Gorin Per Adama and Motzilechu Min Haaretz?
What does Eretz Yisrael have to do with this question?
Because you're saying it's connected to the ground.
So you're saying it's connected.
We're talking about an unperforated flower pot. I think that's what we started off with.
But
right?
where's the earth from?
Who cares?
What do you mean?
Home Depot.
It could be anywhere. It's not connected to the ground.
But I'm saying Hamotzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz means from the ground, or it means from the, you know, from the...
It means from the ground. That's the whole point here.
So I'm saying if you grow it in a bed of rock, it's Hamotzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz.
Yeah, Avada. Of course, 100%. No question about it.
Hydroponic bread is
hydroponic. I don't know about hydroponic. I don't know that much about hydroponics. I mean, if my understanding of hydroponics is that it's all water.
It's all water,
right?
Right.
Yeah, it's all water.
And it's in a glass house,
right.
And it's completely above.
Doesn't
concrete.
The
there's no bugs in there. It's bug free.
So
that's the problem. That's the problem.
That's a shackle.
You don't have to make a bar piyadom on that, Lachaira. So how could you yotze? How could you be yotze more on such a thing? That's a question. Okay, well let's leave that. I just wanted to mention this is a very interesting footnote over here.
Which one?
The 22. The 22 talks about you don't make a Muslim like an RX, but you're still going to say Berachas HaMazon. Okay. He adds, though, that one recites it from Hamazon, right? However, Igwe Tal argues that this is untenable because the Igwe Tal quotes a Yerushalmi in Bukharachas that says that any food which you recite Berachas HaMazon has to have Amoitzi. So if you don't say Amoitzi, then you wouldn't have to say Berachas HaMazon. So this is a whole shmooze over here, what the din would be. It's an interesting shmooze. Rabbi Yoina Boy came. He asked the following question. The last Katala Shu was Sakhik Ba. If you have a gourd vine in an unperforated flower pot, is it considered detached from the ground regarding covering a sukkah with it, right? Because you can't cover a sukkah with schach, which is mechubah l'karka, right? So can you attach, right? So what does it say here on the bottom here, 24? It says, if you train a growing gourd over a sukkah, it's unfit for schach. What about if it's growing in an unperforated flower pot? Is that good enough? Nishmas Adam says it's certainly good for schach. And Akramos is asking whether the rabbis deemed it invalid. In other words, Raisa, it's certainly good. Maybe the Gemara is only asking the Rabbana. That was a question that Rabbi Yonah asked. Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Pazi Boy, not a chamesh gefanim, but chamesh atzitzin. Now this is a riot. Right, we always said that if you have two, and a zonov, that makes a karam, right? What if you have five flower pots? Line them up, two, and once in formation. So is that going to be a vineyard? That's his asking.
No different if you have two rows of flower pots.
Yeah, that's his asking. Not the chamesh kafanim with chamesh atzitz and shenu nekuvim. My son Stein can explain what it's a zonov. I don't make karam. Who you say it's a vineyard? That is, even vines in unperforated pots are considered a vineyard if they're arranged in the pattern. Accordingly, you cannot plant foreign seed between these five vines or within Dalanamas. That's right. So if I brought a flower pot with a vine in it.
This is not a joke.
This is a joke. This is very funny. I have five vines. And then I bring a flower pot with some wheat and put it down there in the middle.
Because
it'll become awesome.
Many of us who plant different things have a long row of pots. And I couldn't plant wheat, what we're saying here. I have a row of 10 or 12 buckets on my porch.
Of what?
And I grow vegetables.
Yeah, well, we don't have them. There's no Issachar Yizraim in the first lines.
Right,
so it's no problem. Anyway, but let me just finish the line. So hafacho, if you subsequently change the arrangement, so it's no longer set up in this configuration. So what's the rule then? Yesh karam metaltel, is it such a thing as a movable vineyard? It's certainly not. These vines being in flower pots are movable. They don't qualify, and it doesn't matter. No matter what the configuration
is. It goes so far.
It only goes so far. Ad kan. And we'll finish the paragraph tomorrow.
All right.
Thank you very much, everybody.
They have 500 women in that ship.